Bride is a token of God's love to every one of us. It's a way of showing us His majesty and His power and how much He cares for us. Now, sin got in this world and it made things bad. I don't think the Lord intended it to be like it is. But He said, I go to prepare a place for you. This world has been called a veil of tears, and it has sorrow and disappointment in it. It's got an awful lot of good things too. But it does have sorrow and disappointment. We have a promise of a place where there is no pain, where there are no tears. If sunset looks that good here, what will heaven be like? I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So said Paul. But he's been closer to that other world than I have. He described himself as having found a moment in his life, whether in the body or out of the body, he said, I cannot tell, caught up to the seventh heaven. He said, I saw things that is not lawful for me to describe. What he meant was, our human eyes can't understand it, our human ears. But nobody who's ever gone over there wanted to come back. I'll prefer that world to this. I'd like to read to you from the first chapter of the book of Genesis this evening. Ask your prayers and the courtesy of your attention for a little while. Think about what God is. There's not much in the Bible that really defines God in a way. Genesis 1 and 1 certainly doesn't. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, as if He needed no explanation. Have you ever read a book, just a book, and on the dust cover on the back there'd be a description of the author, tell you who he was? Ernest Hemingway. Got a biography about him, Mark Twain, or some more modern author. Nora Lofts. I've never read any of hers, but you get her book and turn it over, and there's a few lines about her on the back of the book to tell who she is. Genesis is not like that. It's just almost like God needed no introduction. He is beyond introduction. He is beyond our power to comprehend what He really is. It just says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But there are some indications of what He is in this passage of Scripture. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The word that we have, moved, is translated from a Chaldee term that more properly means brooded. He brooded over the face of the waters, or He concentrated thought or planning on the face of the waters. Well, the scientists say that all life came from what they call the primordial soup. It's you get exactly the right mixture of ingredients in water, chemicals and so forth, and pass electricity through it that is capable of creating life. Nobody's ever done it. But that's the concept. And maybe human intelligence has been shrewd enough to take a rough guess at what happened. God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God brooded, pondered the face of the waters. And I think, but I could be wrong, but I think it was planning. All the forms of life, trees, animals, the complexity of it, so amazing, so different, so incredible. Whales, Scripture said the Lord created great whales. They're so different from ants. He created those too. Well, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Do you doubt that? We're here as Christian believers this evening. Do you doubt that? God said, let there be light. And there was light. I want to chalk a little phrase here on the board again this evening. The term I've written is have faith in God. He made that sunset that was there this evening. It is no accident that our planet is created with exactly the right depth of atmosphere to make human breathing possible. Air pressure. You know air has pressure? Of course you do. People didn't used to believe that. I've read about the scientists who first proved that air has pressure. What is it, 9.8 pounds per square inch or something like that? He took two steel half circles, half of a ball. It's like if he took a steel ball and cut it in half. It was a big one. And then he got a pump and pumped all the air out of it. And he hooked teams of oxen on either end and said, now pull it apart. And he couldn't pull it apart. People couldn't believe it. The animals couldn't pull it apart, and he'd done nothing to it, and they knew it was two separate, but the vacuum, air pressure, allowed it to be pulled apart. Now, your body and mine require exactly that amount of air pressure to live. Isn't that something? And God made it be that way. There are so many things like that. Had he not created water, no life could exist on this earth. Other planets don't have it. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And the sixth, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. And let it divide the waters from the waters. And God said in the ninth verse, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place. And let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for lights in the firmament to give light upon the earth. And it was so. In the 24th verse, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind. Cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. All down through this reading, twenty-ninth verse, God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. Over and over, he says that same thing. It was so. It was so. In all the creation of everything that exists, one thing happened. God said it, and it was so. There is only one exception in all that we knew of life, of inanimate things, dirt, water, skies, stars, moon. There's only one exception. to the man, to the woman, he said, of every tree in the garden you may eat, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you don't eat of that tree. Every other command that he gave, the scripture says, it was so. And with just the power of his word, I don't understand how that could be. That goes beyond my feeble human comprehension. How that could happen. Have you ever seen an octopus? You know what an octopus is? He's got 8 legs. He's got suction cups on his legs. He's real smart. He hides in the rocks. If something gets after him, an octopus has got a jet. He sucks in water from the top and pushes it out somewhere in his belly or somewhere and moves him through the water really fast. If something gets after him, an octopus squirts ink in the water. It's black. And it hides him. How does he do that? Octopus has got a beak. And he can open shells and things with his beak. Who would even think to make something like that? Wouldn't even occur to you. Much less make it in the form that it is. And everywhere around us we see things just as complex. Just as amazing. Pick a leaf off any tree. And look at all the little veins that are in that leaf. And all the little variations. Leaves are like snowflakes. No two of them are exactly alike. Here in Missouri we have millions of trees. And every one of them grow leaves. And no two of those leaves are exactly alike. God did that. You believe it? Well, it's important to believe it. And the way that he did it, everything that I've ever made, I had to make with my hands, some way or another. Fashion it and work on it and shape it and change it. God did this with his voice, with his spirit, with the power of his creative ability. I don't even understand it. How could it be so? But you know what he said about his word? The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts, piercing even to the joints and the marrow. That's as deep as you can go in the human body, to the joints and the marrow. So I see somebody get sick with a serious illness, and that I don't take that lightly. I don't want to be responsible for telling somebody a fairy tale when they could have gotten medical help and possibly spared their life. But the Bible says, the word of God, the same word, the same one that he used to create this world, is quick and powerful and capable of going down into the deepest part of there is of the human body. I look at it. You can take pneumonia organisms, the organism that causes pneumonia, and put it in a petri dish like the scientists have. And you can put penicillin on the edge of the dish and let it trickle down over those organisms and watch it kill them. That's why they give people penicillin and the other sulfa drugs for those kind of things. If I have pneumonia, I'm probably not going to take a sulfa drug. And that's a serious thing to do. Pneumonia has, 60% mortality rate? It kills as many people in undeveloped countries as it ever has. It's lethal. It's serious to tell somebody with pneumonia, trust the Lord with your body. But my message to you is that the word of God is quick and powerful, that his word is able. By what means I know not, I cannot put my Bible on the edge of the petri dish and watch it kill pneumonia cockeye. But there's something in that word that can heal the human body. And as far as that goes, there is no body, human body that will ever heal without the word of God having made provision for it. Any doctor will tell you, he can take a cut in your hand and sew it up where it's bleeding. But if it won't heal by itself, he can't put enough stitches in it to make it heal. And how does that happen? Does the doctor speak to your body and say, heal itself? Has anybody got that skill? No, only God ever can heal anything. In the beginning, God created, and He spoke. And everything that He spoke, the Scripture said, it was so. It was so. The only exception was human beings. Said, don't eat of that tree, and they'd have been better off if they'd have been able to say, later on, it was so. God said it, and we did it. It's the only one that had a choice. We're people. Unfortunately for us all, they made the wrong choice. Well, I believe in divine physical healing, committed advocate of divine physical healing. But I'm also convinced that in many ways, divine physical healing is not a moral choice. There are more important things than what happens to this physical body. For instance, in the 31st verse, the 25th chapter of Matthew, let me read you some things that will be so. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He shall sit upon the throne of His glory. Glory to God doesn't mean glory in the human sense. Humans glory in their success. You know, this is my moment of glory. I get to be crowned today. I'm the king's son. The king died. Today I'm going to be king. All the princes are going to come bow down to me and tell me what a fine, wonderful fellow I am. So forth, and how they're all going to do what I say. That's human glory. The glory of God is referring to dominion. It's referring to authority over. It's this way. Isaiah said, ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. And it means no matter how perverted people are, no matter how evil their practices, how far away from God, there are no people who cannot be delivered from sin. His salvation reaches everywhere. Ask of me, He said, pray and fast for these folks because my blood is able to deliver them and set them free. When He comes in His glory, when He comes having proved everything in this world that He intended to prove, that He is indeed the Son of God, that there is indeed power and deliverance for people to get saved. When is the point? I don't know. When everyone who can be saved, who will be saved, is saved? I don't know. I don't know where it is. Even the angels don't know. But it's coming. Not if, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Listen to me, children. Lord, help us tonight. Throughout my lifetime, I have seen a terrific erosion of faith and belief in God in the public part of the United States. When I was a young person, most people believed in God. Now, our public leaders, many of whom pay lip service to the idea of God, in reality, are embarked on a concentrated campaign to take all awareness of God and right and wrong out of the lives, not just of school, everywhere. Out of people's lives, our educated leaders have the idea that the Bible is wrong on several major points. That people who have been taught biblical ways are actually too hard, too cruel, unfair, biased against different groups in society, and that they ought to be legislated against and taught against. I am shocked. I am shocked at the changes that have taken place. Now, William Manchester is one of the greatest historians of modern times that our nation has ever produced. He wrote about his experience in the Second World War. And he said, we never dreamed that we were fighting for gay rights. It never occurred to us that something like that might be. But that is what is being promoted in our culture today. And the idea is that the Bible is wrong on that point. Dear young folks, if you live from where you are now, as long as I have, another 40 years or 50 years into the future, I shudder to think what you're going to face. If it keeps changing like it is now, there isn't going to be very much belief in God left in the world. And today, we face some level of respect and a great deal of scorn. The scales is tilting toward the scorn. You're going to face more of it, more rejection, more ridicule, more people refusing to accept that it's upright to believe in God and to follow the teachings of the Bible. I hope you will remember something. No force, no power, nothing has ever been able to change the Word of God. It is greater than our scientists. It is greater than our academic leaders. It is greater than the wisdom of this human world. In the beginning, God created. This they willingly are ignorant of, Peter said. It choose not to believe that God created everything. And the reason is because if God created it, God's capable of ending it. And if that happens, then there's accountability. And people have the idea that it doesn't matter if you lie or steal or cheat or use God's name in vain, or all the vain and evil practices that are in the world, don't want to face the awareness that there is a God. But no one can change it. No one can change it. When I and the other gray heads in this building are dust in the ground, please remember these words from the Bible. He said it. And it was so. It'll always be that way. Nothing can change it. Jesus said in the 25th chapter of Matthew, when the Son of Man come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father. Do you believe that one? John and James didn't understand it. Their mother came to the Lord and said, give my sons to sit, one on the left hand and one on the right. And the Lord said, you don't know what you're asking for. Which one of your boys do you want me to say to, depart from me, ye cursed? Because those on the left hand, that's what lies ahead for them. He shall set the sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left. And he'll say to them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father. And then he gives the reasons why this was true. I was an hunger, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. A stranger, and you took me in. Etc. And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, when did this ever happen? As if someone would say, I've seen a lot of things in my life. I've lived for the Lord. I have tried to do good to people when I could. But I never dreamed it was really like this. What can I say? We are, the scripture said concerning the 10 virgins, they all slumbered and slept. The Lord said that. I don't impute evil to people for that because the Lord said it. So I can't avoid it. But I think what it means is we see through a glass darkly. We really, at the best we can do, with all the inspiration we can get, as close to God as we can get, really can't grasp what it'd be to have the shining majesty, the power, the fullness, the glory, come right down where we are and visit us and say to us, you put shoes on my feet. Well, you look at him in amazement and said, I've seen a lot of things in my life, but I never saw anything like this. I never felt the urgency to do that I do now. I've tried, I loved you, I cared about it, but I never saw it like it is now. Folks, we're going to be shocked what we see when this mortal flesh strips away and we really stand in the presence of God. It's greater than our minds can take in. It's more beautiful. It's more glorious. If the sunset looks that good through these earthly eyes that get cataracts, that fail, what will it be like to see him as he is? With no flesh to stand in between, we'll stand there in open mouth amazement. It's like we thought, it's home, it's glorious, but it's far beyond what we ever knew that it could possibly be. We have only now the earnest of the Spirit. Or think what it will mean to the lawyers, to the judges, to the educators, to the legislators who've legislated God out of our schools. Who have set good for evil and evil for good. Who esteem themselves as righteous people because they devise programs to care for the poor and things of that sort. And say that morality isn't. What will it be for them when the Lord stands and says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Ye clothed me not, I was sick and in prison. Ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, I didn't know it was like this. To say, I've got some brothers. Send Lazarus back to tell them. If I can't get out of this place, send somebody back to tell them. I know this is speaking of the final judgment, but this is the way people feel on that day. I never knew it was this serious. Millions of souls are going to be fooled between here and the judgment into believing that it really doesn't matter, that there is no God. And here we are, 30, 40 people here tonight, just our little crowd. And if the whole world lines up against us, let me tell you, little crowd, you better keep believing it. And I better keep believing it. This word's bigger than you and me. It's bigger than this building. It's bigger than the OSHA. It's bigger than the United States government. There is one who said, let every herb be for meat to the animals. And it was so. He said, let the day, the light, separate the day from the night. And it was so. It was so. He spoke this world into existence. And he can speak it out of existence again. And he said there would come a day when it had happened. He said the earth would be destroyed with fire. We sing about it sometimes. It says, the earth shall melt with fervent heat. The heavens pass away. And all mankind their doom shall meet. In that great day, last great day is coming very soon. 'Tis a judgment day. Now these things that I read to you where he spoke the world into existence, they were events that occurred as he spoke them. The events of the end times, he prophesied that it would be so. But the one word is no less sure than the other. Just as certainly as he commanded that there be light, that there be the other things that he spoke of being there, and it was so, just that certainly, when the time has come, this world will pass out of existence. The earth shall melt with fervent heat, and the heavens pass away. I think of it this way. You sisters will understand this. You got a dryer or a washing machine in your house, and you set that. It's got a dial you can turn on it, and it goes through cycles, stages. And it clicks and moves along. And when the time is fulfilled, it shifts from one cycle to another. And when it changes from the wash cycle to the spin cycle, that wash cycle is over. God's got a big timer on his universe. And it's moving. It's moving toward eternity. And one day, it's going to click and click and click. And he said, in a twinkling of an eye, how fast can that eye blink? like the lightning flashes from east to west in a moment. This world will be called into judgment. Don't let anybody fool you into thinking it's not so. Please listen to me. Those of you who are going to have to face life after we're not here, please don't let the world fool you into believing that it's not so. Just as surely as one greater than us created it all, just that surely one day he'll speak it out of existence and we'll go to meet him. And the judge will come back to his great judgment throne, not in mercy. That's all over. To set some on the left hand and some on the right. Folks, whatever you have to do to be set on the right hand, do that in your lifetime. If you have to suffer greatly, if you have to live in a home where you don't feel welcome, if you have to submit to being a slave to somebody, if you have to go through life bearing affliction, whatever you have to do, do it. Do it. Because you look back one day and say, I'm glad it was the right way to go. Have faith in God. Let's believe it, folks. Let's believe it. God is real. His word is real. He will walk with us if we'll allow him to do so. I look for a time, I look for a place where we cannot perhaps overcome the logic of the world. What we have left always, greater than logic, is our faith. Faith doesn't stand on logic, in a sense. Faith stands on contact with God. Well, here's what I mean. Have you followed cloning? You know what cloning is? They cloned a sheep. They take one sheep and make another sheep from cells. And here in the United States, we've outlawed human cloning for good reasons. Because the first sheep they produced that way had two heads and other terrible abnormalities. But somewhere in this world tonight, somebody's cloning human beings. Just because it was outlawed in the United States doesn't mean it's outlawed everywhere. And you know where they're going with that? Growing organs to transplant into people to extend life. That's where that research is headed, ultimately. Throw away bodies. And the question will arise, spiritually speaking, does a clone have a soul? And people are going to find other things that are just as difficult to answer and throw them in your face in an effort to say there is no God. Can you answer that? If I said to you, let's have a Bible study to prove whether or not a clone has a soul, could you take the Bible and answer it? Maybe I couldn't, but I can say this, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Old song said, I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Some folks may tell me some salvation is not real. The whole world may argue that you just can't feel. I was there when it happened. I know who I was before, and I don't ever intend to give that up by God's grace. The same one that saved my soul is able to keep me to the end of the journey and keep me with victory out onto the other side. Be faithful, folks. Be faithful. It's worth it. It's worth it because he's coming back one of these days. And it is real and it's in the Bible. It says here, to some he would say, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. I want to be there. Don't you? I want to be there. Thank you for the courtesy of your attention tonight. May the Lord Jesus bless us all. And I hope when we who are older in this chapel tonight are just distant memories, that you remember beyond us what the book said. He said it, and it was so. And it'll be so. When all the world is denying it, it'll still be so. Stand on that. It'll hold you up. It's all that'll hold you up. Amen.